Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to Sleep Science Today, the show where we talk all about sleep and the science behind sleep. I am your host, Andrew Kolsky, and today we're going to be talking about sleeping at altitude. We have a guest, Will Schaefer. He is the founder and chief elevation officer of Altus News. Will, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. We love to talk about different types of topics here that impact people's sleep, and we have not talked about altitude before, but it is something that is impacts a lot of people, especially those people who like to go skiing or traveling or mountain climbing or whatever it may be, something that gets them at altitude. So why don't we start off, if you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of background. How did you become the sleep altitude guy? What's your background?
My background, I've been in the marketing world for about 20 years, working for different brands. And, you know, this is unrelated to that, but this came more out of a personal need. I was at a point in my career where I had some success leading marketing for some companies and wanted to work on something that was more personally meaningful. And around that time, was getting more and more aware of this issue that I was dealing with tied to altitude. For years, I've gone on ski trips, love to go to the mountains, summertime as well, and just the mountains is kind of my happy place. But I've always struggled with sleeping big time when I go to elevation, and I didn't know why. And this has gone on for years. In fact, my brother had the same thing, and we thought this is kind of a weird, like, us thing. Coincidentally, I had a friend who happened to know a pretty prominent sleep doctor, and I said, oh my gosh, I'd love to talk to the sleep doctor and ask him about this. I did. His name is Dr. Michael Bruce. People should check him out. He has a lot of great stuff out there. The sleep doctor, Dr. Michael Bruce. And we got on the phone, and he said, Will, I want you to go look up sleeplessness at altitude on PubMed and tell me what you find. And sure enough, this was an avalanche of decades, 20, 30 years of research about altitude insomnia, why people can't sleep. It's a very well-established phenomenon, and I'm like, how have I never heard about this? And so I was shocked, and he said, you know, this is not a small problem. As I had been learning more about this, I was talking with friends, and other friends were like, you know, I can't sleep either when I go on these trips, but never put two and two together. And so once I realized there was a real issue here, and I also realized, like, okay, like, there's 65 million people who go on ski trips alone every year in the U.S. Like, this is not a small thing. I'm like, there could be an opportunity to, like, not only solve my problem, but help a lot of other people too, and actually create a good business around this. It's something I'm passionate about and will help others. So that is that's kind of the seed of where things started.
Okay, great. Wow. So, you know, I'm interested to hear, as you were doing your research and reading all these articles and studies out there about altitude, what does it normally look like if somebody is having trouble sleeping at altitude or has altitude sickness? What are the signs?
Yeah. Well, sleep disruption is a major sign that I never knew or put that together. I mean, most people are familiar with altitude sickness, and a lot of people, that's an easy identifiable problem. They go and they have a headache, or they just feel tired or lethargic. Some people get nauseous, not uncommon to lose your appetite. And then if it gets serious in altitude sickness, what's kind of, you know, labeled as, you know, umbrella term altitude sickness progresses, people can get what's called like high altitude pulmonary edema, other like very serious kind of life-threatening medical conditions that kind of escalates on a scale. Generally, the higher you go, the faster you go, the more you are at risk for some of those serious symptoms. What I'll say is, like, for 90% of people, maybe more than that, I think more than that, it's mild symptoms of just feeling really crummy, like you have a mild flu, for 2, 3, 4, 5 days when they first go to altitude. For most people, sleep is one of those issues, but they often don't realize it's part of the oxygenation problem. That's the kind of the core problem. Also disrupts their sleep. And they think, oh, maybe it's because I changed time zones when I sleep. Or I'm just, you know, sleeping in a new bed. It's a little too warm. My, you know, someone is snoring. But there's real phenomenon happening that I can talk more about, like actually 5 different reasons why sleep alone is affected due to low oxygen. It was like going down a rabbit hole. The more I learned about this, the more I understood there are real biological underpinnings of what's causing sleep disruption, which is helpful to understand because that can then inform the solution.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, when you were first doing this research and learning about this area, were there things out there that were already being tried? And was there any information about whether they were being successful or not?
You know, it's, I love this question. I'd say tequila, you know, beer, CBD, melatonin. You know, people are trying, even like cold and flu medication. People were hacking their own solutions, like, you know, and none of them like great. And the reason is that none of those things address the root problem, which is an oxygenation issue. Your body, you know, if you live at a lower level of elevation, where most of us do, and go to the mountains, say, to ski or even take a long flight, your body all of a sudden isn't getting as much oxygen as it's used to. That disrupts your brain's sleep chemistry. It causes a form of apnea called periodic breathing, where you wake up gasping for air. But like a lot of apneas, people don't remember this. And they're like, I don't know why I feel like I didn't sleep last night. It causes state anxiety, which is seen in the literature because the body is like subconsciously freaking out because it's not getting enough oxygen. Anxiety keeps you up. The altitude sickness symptoms, headache, nausea, that disrupts your sleep. And then also there is like time zone change. So these like 5 different factors are contributing to the sleep disruption. And none of those things, like, you know, are designed to help with any of those issues. And that was the big aha, like talking to Dr. Bruce and going deep down the rabbit hole to read the scientific literature and understand what was going on. It's like, there's things people could take to try and drug themselves or mask the symptoms or knock themselves out with a big dose of melatonin, but that doesn't address the underlying problem. And that's where Altisnooze was born, is like, okay, no one's created a solution for this that's tailored to this problem. And so that's, yeah, that was part of what was exciting about this journey, knowing, gosh, there's a real opportunity to innovate, create something that hasn't been created, and help people out.
Okay, so then answer this, because I want to make sure that I understand this. If the oxygen is one of the primary things that's causing the problems that people have at altitude, then what do you say to the listener who says, well, then why don't I just take oxygen?
Yeah. Well, I think I love that question as well, because my answer is that I'm just going to tell you, Altisnooze is the second best solution to this problem. The first best solution is what you just touched on. You can pay $60,000 for a home oxygenation system. There's companies in Denver and whatnot installing these $60,000 to $100,000 systems in people's homes that will raise the oxygen level to be on par with sea level. And that undoubtedly is the best solution. If you want a $6 solution, then I have something that can really help. Okay. Like we'll talk more about it. I don't like to overhype things. This is not a panacea for all sleep problems. It's not going to make it suddenly like the room that you're in is at sea level, but will it help accelerate your process to acclimate and give your body real support that'll help you feel better and sleep better? It will. And so I created a $6 solution that's admittedly inferior to the $60,000 solution. Or the cheaper solution, if you really want the perfect solution, is get back on the plane, you know, like lose all the money you spent on $10,000 to go for a week ski vacation and just drive back to Texas or Florida or wherever you came from. And like, that's what high altitude doctors will say as well. The solution for altitude sickness is to descend. Like, no argument about it. If you're having a serious medical issue, go down. That's what you need to do. If you're having mild discomfort and sleep problems and you want to stay and enjoy your ski trip, I can help.
Sounds like a reasonable trade-off.
Yeah.
So do you yourself live at high altitude or at low altitude?
No, I live at about 30 feet above sea level. I live in Los Angeles, but I'm a native Texan, so coming from Houston, which is probably 10 feet above sea level, maybe it's above sea level. And my family were skiers. My parents met on a ski trip. I was up in the mountains, you know, for weeks at a time, every summer and winter. I was very lucky, loved those trips, but from very early on, it was brutal because I couldn't sleep. And the solution that I had, my brother and I learned about melatonin. It would just take heavy doses of melatonin, knock ourselves out for, you know, a week or two at a time. And does it knock you out? Yeah. Does it address the problem and how do you feel good? No. Like, I get weird dreams. I feel drowsy the next day. Like, it's a solution that has its own problems. And a lot of medical literature is, like, you know, discussing concerns about melatonin use, and I wish I hadn't used it during those years.
it's melatonin is a very interesting thing from the standpoint that, for me, for example, working with my clients, you have a lot of people who, you know, understandably say, well, I was having trouble sleeping and I went to the drugstore and I bought melatonin and I've been taking that and so on and so forth. The question then becomes, if we start to take melatonin on a regular basis, are we then impeding our body's natural production of melatonin because now our body doesn't need to produce it because we've already got enough, typically more than enough in our system? Yeah. Yeah. And then you kind of get caught in that chicken egg thing.
Yep. That is one of the concerns I've read about.
So does your product have any melatonin in it?
It does not, and that was so important from the very beginning. You know, when I was working to create a brief and get a team together, I was like, this can't have melatonin. That's not the right solution for this problem. It doesn't address the underlying issue, and I'm having, you know, personally, I'm having increasing misgivings about melatonin use.
I see. Okay, great. So, is this something that you developed yourself, or did you have a partner, or how did it come together when you finally decided that, hey, I want to solve this problem?
Yeah, no, I'm not a scientist. I don't play one on TV. Dr. Bruce, it was very helpful. I should mention he has no stake in the business. He just, being a friend of a friend, he said, I want to help you out. I know a great team. With a group that has a background developing supplements. They have a bias towards sort of herbal approaches, not drugs. And I think you should talk to them. And I really lucked out. They were, you know, amazing and a great resource and have decades of experience, you know, working with natural ingredients to try and come up with, like, you know, solutions that are, kind of gentle solutions to problems and not like heavy drug solutions.
Yeah. No, and I'm glad to hear that because I know another thing in terms of talking about trends related to sleep is that also another thing that I find all the time is most of the clients who come to me, because I focus on behavioral sleep medicine, is they either have been taking either over-the-counter or prescription aids for sleep issues, and they want to get off of them, and many of them even have their sleep doctor telling them, we want to get you off of these medications. And when you go and you read the actual literature about some of the traditional, you know, sleep pills that we use on a regular basis, they say they're for short-term use only, not for long-term use. And so it is a big area now that people are becoming more in tune to wanting to have healthy sleep options and alternatives. And so, you know, getting away from all those prescription things and all is definitely a big area that we're moving into. So, you know, you've definitely hit the right market.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do here is we're at the time for a commercial break. So if you don't mind, I'm going to stop to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and when we come back, let's talk about some of the actual details of the product and learn more about it. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back on Sleep Science Today with Will Schaefer.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we are back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We are talking with the Altus News Chief Elevation Officer, Will Schaefer. So, Will, we talked about sort of the background of what got you to develop this product in the first place. So let's spend some time talking about the actual product. What goes into this? How did you know what to put into it? Can we get into some details?
Absolutely. So, I mean, developing the product started with a brief, you know, where it's like, let's be real clear on like what we're trying to solve for. So researching the medical literature, understanding the problem, like getting clear about those five causes of sleep disruption, and also the broader challenge people are dealing with, which is other altitude, related issues, headache, fatigue, nausea. So the good news is by addressing kind of what was the most apparent fundamental issue, or, you know, trying to provide support for it, oxygenation, it's a tide that lifts a lot of boats, because that's what's causing this cascade of many, many symptoms. So the formula takes aim at improving oxygenation, but it also tries to provide gentle sleep support. And so some of the ingredients are targeted towards sleep as well. People also need hydration and just performance and recovery support when they're at elevation. So the formula takes aim at those three things: oxygenation support, sleep, as well as just hydration, performance, recovery, to try to be a 360, you know, one-stop solution for people when they go to altitude, want to feel good and sleep good. So happy to double click on talk about ingredients, but that's sort of the general way we came in thinking about, you know, trying to address what's the scope of issues where we can help people, and it's appropriate to try to help people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I do want to get into the actual ingredients, but let me ask a couple things first.
Yeah.
So if one of the purposes of the product is to help people sleep better, is there a certain time of day that they should take it? And do the effects last a certain amount of time? I'd hate to take something and then be sleepy while I'm skiing down a hill and I got a tree in front of me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just hold up the product because it might be helpful for people to see that it's a powder in a small bag here. You tear the packet, pour it in water, like 2 ounces, because you don't want to have to drink or get up to go to the bathroom in the night. But take it 30 minutes, an hour before you want to go to bed. We did a powder instead of pills because a lot of people don't like pills. And also we wanted something that could be absorbed more quickly. So that's it. It's a tasty powder. It is We deliberately chose ingredients that would not leave people feeling drowsy in the morning, melatonin being one of the main ones that people often complain about. But a lot of the drugs people might take, or even cold medication, people say, I still feel drowsy. So, you know, we wanted to avoid those kinds of ingredients.
Okay. So typically it's going to be something I take a little bit before bedtime, but by the time I wake up in the morning, I'm going to be awake and ready to go. It's not going to be holding me back.
Yeah. At this point, I have thousands of customers. I have heard zero complaints that people felt drowsy in the morning. To me, that's like, you know, I love that.
Mm-hmm. And then you said there's also ingredients in there that are related to the oxygenation, the other parts that we have in terms of altitude issues.
That's right.
I'm assuming those are designed to last longer. Like, how does that impact the person?
Designed to last longer. I mean, yes. Categorically, we sought to include a class of ingredient known as adaptogens. Adaptogen sounds like this silly, you know, honestly, I'll just call it out, California-like buzzword. I thought adaptogens were bogus before I started getting into working on this product. But adaptogens are a class of herbs and mushrooms that have been used, a lot of them for thousands of years, that help the body deal with stress. Your body is dealing with the stress of suddenly not getting as much oxygen as it's used to, the body and the brain. And there's these amazing group of, there's about 40 of them out there. People can go look them up, adaptogens that help the body deal with stress. And we chose a few that have, that help people with oxygenation, cordyceps being one of the main ones. Holy basil, also known as Tulsi, is another one. These have been used for thousands of years. And those two help at a cellular level with people working more efficiently with whatever level of oxygen is there. So improving oxygenation by that means. And also helping with oxidative stress. That's a fancy term for saying your body is not happy and freaking out because it's not getting enough oxygen at a cellular level. That causes stress. That's part of what causes headaches and a cascade of other symptoms. And these adaptogens help your body to reestablish a kind of homeostasis and deal with that stress. So I have to remind myself, like, I could go on tangents and deep dives about this stuff. It's fascinating. But these adaptogens go a long way to help support your body's natural ability to oxygenate. But, you know, to be transparent, it's not the same thing as being in an oxygen chamber or going back down to sea level. Nothing will be besides that. But these are ingredients that can help your body accelerate its process of acclimation so that you're quickly adapting and sleeping better right away.
Great. So as you're talking about this and you know, I'm listening to the oxygenation part. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can understand the high altitude issues. I get how oxygen becomes, you know, less available and so on and so forth. But then I'm thinking to myself, what about people who are like athletes, like long distance runners or people who do other athletic things at sea level, you know, not up in the mountains, but wouldn't they benefit from something the same way?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, they would. In fact, there's a lot of natural ingredients, supplements out there that target oxygenation. Beets is one of them. Beets is a great, you know, if you want to improve your performance, there's some data out there that consuming a whole bunch of beets will help boost your aerobic capacity by like 10 to 15%. And so I'm pretty, you know, you can find these supplements on Amazon. Olympic athletes will use beets. Black currants from New Zealand is another one that has some remarkable data of improving aerobic capacity. So yes, you have to use a lot of beets, which is why we didn't. It would have been like a packet, like two or three times this size. You know, cordyceps emerged as like, we looked at hundreds of possible ingredients and adaptogens and things that help naturally with oxygenation. Cordyceps was kind of the standout of like has the best data. It's been used for thousands of years, incredibly safe. It actually has other benefits. There's some data indicating cordyceps also helps with sleep, helps with immune support and function, which people's body are under stress. They don't want to get sick. Like, for every ingredient, we tried to choose ingredients that would help with three or four or five other things. Like, you know, holy basil is helping with, you know, the oxidative stress. It also has amazing just vitamins and minerals, you know, to help, you know, fuel the body. That's one of the reasons why it's such a universally used adaptogen.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that I, you know, personally like about your website is that you are very transparent and right up front with what your ingredients are and how they are beneficial. And, you know, I think that that says a lot about your product and your thoughts about your product. Would it be okay with you if we took a little bit of time and went into some of the ingredients, especially the ones you have in there for sleep, just so we can share with everybody what are we talking about? What's actually in the product?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll both do that.
So I'm going to, let's see if I can do this. I'm going to try and share your website. So those of you who are paying attention and watching on YouTube, you can see the actual website. If you're listening on the radio, you can simply go to altisnooze.com, which is altisnooze.com. And one of the links on top says learn, and when you hit learn, it gives you the opportunity to learn about the ingredients, and that's what we're looking at here on YouTube. So let me jump over. We start off with ingredients related to oxygenation, which we may come back to in a minute, but then we go into ingredients needed for sleep. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to go into, we got a little bit of a 15% off offer here, but we may have a better offer for you later, but
yeah,
let's look at the ingredients for sleep. Would you mind kind of going through them and giving us the, you know, the understanding as to why is this in the product and what is it doing for us?
Absolutely. So, just high level, I'll point out this is meant to be gentle sleep support. It's not meant to clobber people over the head and knock them out. So I don't promote Altisnooze as a panacea for all sleep problems. If Altisnooze is for people who sleep well generally at sea level but cannot sleep due to the oxygenation issue when they go to elevation. So I like to be careful about overpromising with people. So the sleep support, I'm happy to kind of go down some of the key ones and we can double click on anything. But holy basil, as I mentioned, we chose ingredients that had multiple benefits. Not only does it help with stress in the body and reducing like cortisol for the stress on the body, it also helps with reducing cortisol, helps with sleep. And so in addition to that, holy basil has a lot of other vitamins and minerals that help people with just the oxidative stress that their body's dealing with. Magnesium, I think a lot of people probably know about magnesium and products like Calm. We include it because it's a natural muscle relaxer. Mm-hmm. We use a form, magnesium bisglycinate, that is known to be more absorbable, and also not upset people's stomach. GABA. GABA is one of the key neurotransmitters that tells your body, oh, it's time to go to sleep. That gets disrupted by the low oxygen, disrupts that part of your brain, sleep chemistry. So GABA is help. We include some GABA that helps replace what's missing so that the brain can function more normally and say, okay, time to turn off the excitatory parts of our brain that say stay awake, which then allows sleep to naturally unfold. Mm-hmm. Lemon balm is just a calming herb. It's been used for thousands of years. Known to help calm the nervous system and help people relax and fall asleep. Xylaria is a mushroom. We used a branded ingredient that also pronounces Xylaria that includes a combination of the mushroom Xylaria extract as well as extract of a seed called the cuscata seed. This helps basically amplify the GABA effect. Tell your body, okay, time to relax and go to sleep. Lastly, a couple more here. L-theanine. L-theanine is pretty popular. Amino acid. It's in green tea. So a lot of people know it's just an amino acid that helps your body relax. and be calm. And then lastly, 5-HTP, Grifonia extract. 5-HTP is one of the main precursors of serotonin. Serotonin is one of your main mood regulating and relaxing neurotransmitters. And so by providing a little bit of 5-HTP, it helps the body resume more normal production of these sleep hormones. People can click on the links on the website to see research studies that document some clinical evidence for the use of these ingredients at the doses we've included for these purposes. All of them, are included at a level to provide support. I have to be careful and think it's important to let, people know this is, again, this is not a panacea if you have serious sleep apnea. If you have, major stress in your life that is keeping you from sleeping, this isn't Xanax to, knock you out. This is something that if you sleep normally well and you want some help restoring normal sleep chemistry that's been disrupted due to the oxygenation issue, this will absolutely give your body and your brain some of that support.
Fantastic. Thank you for going through that with us because, again, like I said, the more transparent a company is, the more trust there is in their product. And
Yeah, it's so important. And to be honest, I will say, with supplements, a lot of people say, supplements are expensive urine, right? do they work? Do we absorb any of them? So I was just hyper focused and vigilant with the team to say, I don't want to create a product unless I really feel it works, it's going to help people, and that I feel confident in the quality of the ingredients, and the sourcing. Where did it come from? And so that's why if people look at the label for the product on the back, they'll see more than half the ingredients have brand names associated with them. With that, when you pay for that as a company, you're buying reassurances of the supply chain that you're really getting what you believe you're getting and the how clean those ingredients are. So we were meticulous about making sure the formula was well-sourced with good ingredients that are actually going to help people out. And it's a premium product for that reason. It's not cheap. Some people are a little concerned that it's $6, but that's kind of what it needed to be to create a product that I felt good about and would help people out. And what I say is, if you're willing to pay $6 for a caramel macchiato sugar bomb latte to wake up in the morning, do yourself a favor and pay $6 for something that'll actually nourish your body and help you get, sleep and feel better at elevation and enjoy your $6,000 ski trip. What's sleep worth, right?
Right. You're going to have to share where you can find a caramel macchiato for $6 these days. I think it's $8 and $10 now. But
that's a good point. It is.
Yeah. But we are at a spot where we need to take another commercial break. So if you'll bear with us, we're going to take a commercial break, and we will be right back with Will Schaefer.
The station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
All right, welcome back to Sleep Science Today. We have been talking about sleeping at altitude and altitude sickness with Will Schaefer. Will, you told us a lot about the product now and where it came from and what's in it and all. So now that you've got this product, how's it going? How's the company going?
It's going really well. I honestly couldn't be happier with how it's going so far. I launched the business in June of this last year, 2024. And I'm in about 100 retail customers in like Rocky Mountain states, Utah, Colorado. I've got an Amazon store up, you know, 4-star reviews, great feedback from customers. And honestly, I like for me, at the point, like initially, there's like this a big sigh of relief because I knew this was a problem, and I know that data documents it. But a lot of people still like say, oh, really? Is that that's an issue? Like, I didn't know. Maybe they're not a skier and they haven't experienced it. Or they'd say, I didn't put two and two together and realize that problem. So I knew upfront education might be a challenge. And I had to create a package that was sort of self-evident of like, here's the solution to a problem you might not have realized was what was causing it. And so I'm just delighted that the product has connected with people. It sits on a shelf in retail stores, looks like this, and people find it and they're buying it. My customers are reordering. So, you know, I'm very excited about that. I'm talking to some larger chains now. Most of those 100 stores I mentioned are, you know, grocery stores, some drug stores and outdoor stores. I'm starting to have calls with chains that want to carry it in larger chains and expand the distribution. So I'm really excited.
Well, that's really fantastic. That's a great success story, because that's not the typical story of startup companies. Most startup companies don't make it past startup. So,
Thank you.
One of the things that my listeners probably don't know about me is that I have a background in developing new products, bringing them to market. And so I've had a lot of years of experience in doing that. And I can tell you, it is not easy at all. So for you to do what you've done and for you to be getting the type of response that you're getting shows a lot about the work that you've put in. So congratulations on doing that.
I appreciate that. And I'm super grateful to any customers or retailers who are carrying the product or customers who bought it on Amazon. Thank you. I appreciate your trust and support. And yeah, I feel very fortunate.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk about a couple other things here that I think are relevant to this topic. Obviously, we're talking about sleep and functioning at altitude. So do you have any tips that you typically share with people if they're planning on going on a vacation, maybe a ski trip or someplace else at altitude, and they know they want to prep for this? Are there tips that they should be aware of how to prepare for such a trip?
There are. The ideal would be to ascend gradually if you can. Driving is better than flying. You know, flying from LA to Aspen, you know, 8,500 feet, not as recommended as if you can fly to Denver. Maybe visit your old college roommate for a night and then go up to Aspen. That'll decrease the chances you're going to struggle with sleep, or lessen the struggle. And just pacing yourself when you get there. You know, I remember many years where it's like I hit, you know, fly from Houston to Denver, go straight up to Keystone, which is 9,000 feet, go out the next day and try and get in 20 runs and feel pretty rough. Pacing yourself is not a bad idea. You know, the mountains aren't going anywhere. So if people can just, you know, take it a little easier that first day. Alcohol is not your friend. I love an apres drink, but maybe limit it to like one or two drinks. Carbs are generally then like, a hanger steak that first night or two while your body is kind of dealing with this oxygenation stress. And like, you know, carbs are a lot easier to digest and nourish than a big steak. And then lastly, of course, like sleep. Like, you know, sleep is the X factor for everything in life. If you can get a good night's sleep, you're going to feel a lot better. And I've created a product to try to help people with that. So I would certainly encourage having some Altus News with you.
Okay, fantastic. I appreciate those tips. Those are all meaningful tips. But let's talk about the sleep part of this. So In addition to the Altus News, are there other things that people could or should be doing related to their sleep when they're up at that higher altitude?
There are. And I have been so guilty of doing all the wrong things, as I think a lot of us have. I mean, sleep is so topical, you know, in recent years. more books coming out, like Matthew Walker's Why We Sleep, and sleep hygiene is a term that I don't know if you know, you've probably heard, and like now I think most of my friends have heard, and like practicing good basic sleep hygiene is like really important. Like I've got a product that can help people out, but if you show up, you know, in Vail and you go out for three drinks followed by like a cappuccino, and you're sleeping in a room with four people who are snoring and one person cranked the heat to like 90 degrees and there's someone else playing music in the other room, it's like, good luck, right? Okay. It's like, it's so just getting your sleep hygiene in order is going to help for sleeping at altitude or wherever. So I always travel with a sleep mask. I bring earplugs. I make sure the room is cool, like having a bed that's comfortable. Getting those fundamentals is like really, really key. And so that's just something that I encourage people doing those other things like pacing yourself, being gradual, that will improve the chances you're going to get a good night's sleep that first night. And then I'd say hydration to some extent. Like I talked with one of the world leading experts, this guy named Dr. Peter Hackett, who's literally wrote one of the books on high altitude medicine. I talked with him about AltiSnooze early on. He had some great insights. And he has an interesting section on his website about high altitude myths. One of the biggest myths is hydration. And that people have been educated to some extent by the hydration packet companies like Noon and all these that altitude sickness is a hydration problem. It's not. It's an oxygenation problem. If you're dehydrated, will you feel worse? Yes. But a lot of people end up overhydrating and diluting their electrolyte imbalances. And so some of these products can be, you know, overused. And so I just tell people, drink enough water, but don't think that being hydrated is going to allow you to commit all these other sins with alcohol, caffeine, or not, you know, good sleep hygiene. Like, altitude sickness and sleeplessness at altitude is not a hydration problem.
Right. Wow. That's interesting. I never really thought about it much. So I never put two and two together. Fantastic. And any other myths or things we should be aware of?
One other thing that surprised me, some people have said, oh, it's a good idea to cut caffeine when you go to altitude. That's not a good idea, because if your body is used to getting coffee and you suddenly cut it out, now you're dealing with, you know, possible altitude symptoms and like, you know, withdrawal from caffeine, and that's going to cause a headache and make you feel worse. A better idea is just limit your caffeine intake. This is, you know, sleep hygiene. Limit your caffeine intake to the morning and cut yourself off like by, you know, early afternoon. Like I learned through the course of my 20s and 30s, I have to stop drinking coffee at 11 a.m. or it will keep me up at night, because it stays in your body for 12 to 14 hours. I process it very slowly. And so just, but don't cut coffee, just, you know, do the right things with it.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that I say on this show a lot is when the day is half, it's time for decaf. Because we want to get that caffeine out of our body by time we're ready to get to sleep so that we can actually sleep.
The other thing, if I'm, you know, wanting to just offer people with information that may prove helpful or practical, is just to know that like no one is immune. Like altitude issues doesn't affect like, you know, people who are old or people who may be overweight. Like it seems, you know, talking to Dr. Hackett about that, it can affect anyone. And it can affect people at surprisingly low elevation. Like Lady Gaga was on tour in Denver a couple years ago, and she posted this picture on Instagram of, she's like, yo, altitude sickness, you know, is real. Like she went to the hospital in Denver because she was singing at her concert or trying to perform. And she got hit really hard by it at Denver, which is like 5,000 feet. So, you know, take it seriously and just be smart about how, you know, hard you're pushing yourself, and just be, you know, on the lookout. And if you're having serious issues, go down in elevation. That's the best thing to do if you're having really serious problems, or, you know, go to a hospital and get oxygen. So just be smart out there, you know?
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that information. I do want to ask, maybe you have a good example of someone that you have spoken with who has actually used the product and what their experience has been. I'd like to learn about that if you have something. And then from there, we have to kind of move into starting to wrap ourselves up. So have you had anybody contact you and share their experience?
That's like the most rewarding part of like starting a business is when people reach out and say like, thank you and tell you their experience. Like I've various folks, like, you know, I'll tell you one of the very first things when I launched the business, I went to a trade show called Outdoor Retailer in Salt Lake City. And someone who'd gotten a sample came to me the next day and was like, oh my gosh, this is night three for me at this trade show. Every night tossing and turning, I took your product. And like 20 minutes later, I was out and I feel amazing today. Like, thank you. And I was like, that was when I was like, wow, this business might actually work. But you know, other people, a guy wrote to me and said, like, I got the best sleep on a plane that I've ever had. Like a lot of people, including myself, until I was like a year into working on this business, don't realize planes are pressurized to about 8,000 feet. That's like the elevation of Aspen. So what some people think is like jet lag and just, you know, planes being too dry, they're experiencing altitude sickness on a plane, you know, as if they're at 8,000 feet. So, so Altus News can help with that. And this guy, you know, said that it did. One guy wrote and said that he went on his annual backpacking trip and for the first time never cramped during that trip on the trail. And he was taking Altus News every night. The last thing I'll share is that my brother, when we were like early on, like, you know, testing the formulas and sharing the product, like, you know, he had a sleep tracker. And he had come from Philadelphia where he lives. And his first night at elevation took out the snooze and he recorded the most REM sleep that he has ever gotten, like ever gotten, which is bonkers because we're not talking about just sleeping in Philadelphia. He'd gone up 9,000 feet and still got, you know, this amazing REM sleep and the data is there. And since then, like I've used trackers and monitor my sleep and like, you know, so when people like hold up their sleep data and say like, you know, like I actually slept, like that's so gratifying to see.
Definitely. That I'm sure it must be. Yeah. It's when you put so much hard work into researching and developing and putting together a product, which I can again tell the listeners, it is not an easy thing to do. Yeah. And then you finally get it on the market and you get positive feedback. That's the best feeling that, you know, you can imagine. So let me do this because we've got to wrap up here. We're out of time, but I know that you put together a special discount for listeners of our show. So can you tell us about that? Where can they go to get it and what type of discount are they getting and how do they do it?
Yeah. So if people want to find the product, they can go to my website. It's just altusnooze.com. That's like the word altitude, but instead of tude, the word snooze. And you should be able to Google it and it'll come up. It's also on Amazon, but best to go to the website to take advantage of this code I created for Sleep Science Today. It's just Sleep Science Today and the number 20. So SleepScienceToday 20. Sleep Science Today 20. Get 20% off on your whole order. And please let me know your experience. I'd love to hear your feedback.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. So again, this is Will Schaefer, the Chief Altitude or Chief Elevation Officer. I got it right.
You got it. Yeah.
For altusnews.com. Will, thank you for your time. Thank you for developing the product. And thank you for sharing all this with our audience.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Great.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.
Stop. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.